I'm Dana Lloyd. Welcome to Soul Sister Conversations, the podcast, where you will be inspired and empowered to connect more deeply with your authentic self as we explore topics of personal development, leadership, and spirituality. Your journey to your most authentic self starts right now. Tired of poor customer service? Etiquette gone out the window? Where's the professionalism in the workplace? Lorraine Peters has the answer with her Development Academy. She has worked with young people a long time in her modeling agency. She feels like modern day manners have gone out the window. And today we are talking about how that is affecting the workplace and what we can do about it. Have you always wanted your own personal coach? Well, now you can have one. Sign up for my weekly newsletter called Coach in Your Inbox, where I give you an inspirational message along with a coaching question for the week. Plus, you'll always be up to date with who is on the podcast and get my latest book recommendation. I value my relationships and community with others. So let's start a relationship. Go to danalloydleadership.com to sign up. Lorraine Peters, welcome to Soul Sister Conversations.
Hi, Dana. Thanks for having me.
Well, I should really say welcome back to Soul Sister Conversations because you were back. You were one of our early guests way back in the first season. But today we're going to be focusing on similar things, but a little bit different because you've done a lot in the past few years. And you are the founder and owner of the Development Academy, a division of the successful L Models and Personal Development Academy, founded in 2017. So you've been modeling yourself since 1984. You've been in this world and helping grow young models. And in that process, you've seen and you've recognized a lot of things with the generations, with professionalism and manners and etiquette. And that's where our conversation is going to focus on today. But do you want to talk a little bit about what the Development Academy is? What do you do that the public might realize actually goes on in your wonderful academy?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for that backdrop. So my background with etiquette, manners, civility goes back a long, long way. So in 1984, when I started my modeling career, I had to pick up and move from a small town, go to just outside of Toronto to a modeling and finishing school. That's actually how it happened back then. There wasn't the internet. And so I was taught etiquette and formality and deportment and all that stuff from a British lady who was a Canadian actress and model. And so my beginnings with etiquette, learning from a British woman, have stuck with me my entire life. And I think it's really important. And so in 2017, I had the opportunity to buy a bit of a hobby business from somebody, where they did teach, you know, modeling and self-improvement. And I had the chance to buy it. And so I did, and I renamed it, rebranded it in 2017 to L Models and the Personal Development Academy. And so my whole notion was, yes, I wanted to be a small boutique modeling agency that discovered and developed models here in the Maritimes and sent them off to bigger centers. But I also wanted to teach the classes. And here's where a lot of people don't understand what I do and the impact of what I do on youth is that the modeling is a great hobby for a lot of girls and boys and grown women as well. But it's the lessons that they learn through modeling and what the industry demands of us. It is one of the most professional industries in terms of how you have to act and behave with casting directors and makeup artists. And so there's a high level of professionalism expected at a young age, as well as looking polished and put together. So it's not enough that you're a pretty face. You really have to be able to present well. And then the whole idea of deportment, what that means is how you walk and how you move and how you sit, stand, get in and out of a car, all of those things make a congruent image of who you are. And so at L Models, it's not just about the modeling. Most of them, in fact, will never go on to be models who make a living at it, but they will take the lessons that they've learned at my academy and apply it to every area of their life. I have had more phone calls from kids that go out for their first jobs, and usually in retail, And the manager will call me and say, I just interviewed so-and-so and I have one question for you. Do you have any more just like her? Because they're so impressive. At 16 and 17 years old, they can go in, look you in the eye, smile, shake your hand, sit up straight, be attentive, be a good listener, ask great questions. And especially nowadays, that is something that really sets people apart. So in 2017, this was my idea. This was my vision, but it was twofold because I wanted to eventually, you know, take out the modeling piece and offer all of these principles to the business world and to young professionals, people coming out of university who have invested greatly in perhaps a business degree, for example. But there's that growing gap between their hard skills and these necessary soft skills. Of course, COVID interrupted that. And while I continued doing my research and laying the foundation to do this, I really didn't have much opportunity between, 2020 and now to really put that, to bring that to fruition. So I'm making headway now. And I actually do have two courses now up on my website, able to be purchased online. But I also am hoping to get out there in businesses teaching this in person as part of companies onboarding training. Because as I said, the millennials, for example, the millennials and now the Gen Zs, there is no higher educated cohort ever on the planet before. So the notion that we can out-educate each other is ridiculous because you can't. Everybody's got a master's degree. So we can't out-educate each other. But what we can do is recognize that we, our own self, is our edge. And so if you can invest in your employees and use this this training that is closing the gap, you are going to absolutely affect your company's bottom line by having employees who have great hard skills, awesome education, and now they have emotional intelligence. They can read a room. They know how to communicate effectively and appropriately. They show up dressed and groomed and polished for the job that they were hired for. That is a game changer.
I so agree. Because, I used to do some career coaching for a while, and nobody ever lost their job because they were highly educated or even the fact that they were good at their job. It was other factors. And it's these kinds of things that you're talking about. So for people who are trying, whether it's an organization who's trying to have a competitive edge, as you say, that this can do, it's also people can have a personal edge when you're out there competing for jobs. It truly is about putting your best foot forward. So and it's interesting because you said when you went to Toronto, the name of your school was like a modeling and finishing school. And when I was doing the research on your academy, I thought this is finishing school and we don't have this anymore. And you say where you have all your models, you said it's a little research center. You see a lot. And we chatted about that before we hit the record button. And we talked about this, the confidence that you help build in kids. As you say, most of these people aren't going on to model professionally, but we were talking about confidence and building their confidence because they literally trip and fall as a model and they learn to pick themselves back up. And so you kind of have a little research center going on over there at L Models, and you are seeing some things. So what are some of the things that you're seeing that you want to address? Because you're addressing like etiquette, professionalism, and what does all that mean? So what do you see in that there's a gap?
So most notably with young people, what I'm seeing is if the parents would just step back and let them literally trip and fall and make mistakes and get them to come back and try it again and stick it out, there is absolute magic that happens. And I have so many testimonials over the years. It's unbelievable. But what I see a lot of is the moms want to jump in and rescue them from any discomfort, rescue them from failing. And there have been times where I see that a kid is just about to turn a corner and then it's time to participate in something that's upcoming. And the kid is like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to quit. The ones who don't quit, Dana, the ones who somehow manage to love the modeling class more than they fear the fear of whatever they think can happen, what ends up happening is they have these opportunities. Like, for example, I just had some student models who got to be part of the an ad campaign for a big local jeweler. So they have to be willing to be on camera. They have to be willing to take direction with very little notice about what is going to happen. So they have to be able to roll with the punches, go with the unexpected. They have to be a level of professionalism of any adult. They have to recognize the importance of showing up on time. They have to understand that if there are photographers or videographers, time is money. So if you're late, you're probably never getting the job again because you cost us money. I'm very big on giving them responsibility. Some of my students are as young as 6 and they know, don't show up without my shoes and say that my mom didn't pack them because they're not your mom's shoes. Your mom's not the one practicing her walking. And so you should have your shoes. So that stuff only happens once. And we don't give the young people enough credit. I have seen them really rise to the occasion when they just think, hey, this is what's expected of me, so I'm going to do it. It's when we start putting all of these ceilings and limitations on what we think our kids are capable of doing. So when you talk about not all of my students are going to be professional models. Well, I just discovered since COVID, because I wasn't doing any scouting or developing and the world was shut down anyway, as far as modeling. But I just discovered a girl last summer at a restaurant in Quispam Sis. I discovered her. I have developed her. I have trained her. I have polished her. She has put in all the hard work, and now she's just been signed to a big agency in Toronto, and she's likely bound for Europe. So
it's amazing.
It is amazing. And she was so anxiety ridden and so self-conscious and so freaking scared. And I said, her name is Sally, Sally Ryan from Quispam Sis. Hey, Sally.
Go Sally.
Yeah, go Sally.
Amazing.
I said, Sally, because I know when they start to panic and when they're starting to pull out. And I said, Sally, just trust me and just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Don't think about next week. Don't think about what if. Just put one foot in front of the other. And she did. And then she went to Toronto on her own 3 weeks ago and had a very, professional shoot so that the agency can get her up on the roster. And she did all that. And I said, just put one foot in front of the other. And she did. And she said, if nothing else happens with this in my life, I have already gained so much from the experience. Mm. So the idea and the level of, the level of professionalism and conduct that she had to have, she had to step up to the plate pretty quick. Because especially in this industry, modeling, acting, there are big egos out there. And when you insult them or you disrespect their time, you really are put on a list of don't work with them. Or if you have a tremendously difficult mother, that can hurt your opportunities as well, because nobody likes to work with somebody who is an administrative burden or a diva, difficult to get along with, because again, all of this stuff is time is money. And so these are all the principles that in the modeling program I teach. They learn how to do public speaking, which is very important. Nothing is more
huge.
Yes, it's huge, because I think we can all relate to listening to what we know is a very intelligent person get up there on a stage and everything's like, yes, I was like, and I read this book like it was awesome, like the best book I've ever liked. it's so distracting, and it takes away from all of the good, delicious information that they may have for you. And so public speaking is very important. They learn, how to walk and sit with really good posture and, dining etiquette. I usually take them to, I did used to before COVID, take them to a restaurant the Golf and Country Club, for example, and the chef would give us a 3-course meal and teach dining etiquette. That's huge. That is one of the places, especially if you're a business professional, there is no bigger opportunity for a potential employer or a client to see how much you know in terms of social etiquette and the confidence that an employer may have of putting you in front of high-level clients. The dining table is where they will take you to see how much you know. And so having those skills, it's not antiquated. People say all the time, oh, that's so old-fashioned, that doesn't matter anymore. It does matter. And I will even go so far as to say what we're seeing in the workplace today, especially post-COVID, with the incivility and the disharmony and employees being so utterly unhappy and miserable. I will tell you, Dana, I can directly bring this back to etiquette in one step. Because etiquette is not a bunch of cringy, old-fashioned rules. Etiquette is literally based in kindness and the notion that you consider other people before yourself. And so when you show up on time, that's not about you. That's about the other person. When you know how to respect being invited to somebody's house to a fancy dinner, you dress the part. That's not for you. That's for them. So this whole idea of everything being about us and with them, you know, what's in it for me, that's where things fall apart, is that we're not stepping back for just 2 seconds and saying, okay, what I am about to say, how is that going to be interpreted? How is that going to be felt by the receiver? That's etiquette.
And you and I were chatting a little bit about this beforehand, and you said, like, really the word etiquette, I think people think old fashioned, and this idea of me, 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 we're not considering other people. I don't know if we need a psychology degree to answer this or not, but what has contributed to this me society? Long as I get satisfied, long as, you know, and it is a give and take of making sure you take care of yourself and not give. I mean, there is that thing of giving too much and you find yourself being worn out. But this idea of etiquette or not considering others, what has happened to our society? Because you have been dealing with young people for a long time, so I'm sure you can see the gradualness of this, or if there's been a decline or what has happened. Do you have any sort of thoughts around that?
Yeah, I do. Not so much my organic thoughts, Dana, but you know, things that I've read over the years and certainly over the last couple of years. So one of the big declines in North America started to happen in the 70s. There was a study done, and I don't remember who did the study, but it was a widespread social study that was conducted that asked people how much they knew about and liked their neighbors. And so in the 50s and 60s and 70s, it was very high. It was like, I think it was in the 90%. Like, people were neighbors. They were neighborly. They knew their neighbors. They looked out for their neighbors. And that took a big nosedive after like the late 70s, the 80s. And
interesting.
And pre-COVID, even like just pre-COVID, it was nil. Basically, people really don't know their neighbors, don't have any care or concern really for their neighbors. It's just not important. We're very insular now. It's all about ourselves, our immediate goings on, and we have very little concern for our neighbors. Now, what I have seen, so when I look at the behavior that I see coming through my door at the academy with young people, even just pre-COVID to post-COVID, like now, this last 3 years, it is so shocking to me the difference in people.
What's going on?
What's going on? So here's what I observe is when COVID struck and we were told, go home, stay home, that's where you're safe, keep safe, wear a mask. If you have to go out, head down, mask on, get in and get out, go back home where you're safe. So that's how we were operating. So there was no eye contact. There was no stopping in the stores to talk to people. It was on, we were on high alert, right? So let's take that, which is fact. That's what we went. That's what we lived. Now let's break that down by generation. So you have the older people who the fallout from that was they were and they still are shaped by the fear that if they catch it, this virus, they could likely die. There is that baseline fear with the older generation. And so a lot of them have maintained that isolation to some degree. Now let's take the teenagers who were 3 years younger than they are now. So they're like 18 now, so they were 15. They're 17, so they were 14. Excuse me. They were literally shaped by this, changed forever.
Yeah.
Changed forever. I see it all the time. The inability to look somebody in the eye, the utter discomfort at any kind of close proximity. So these people have been shaped by that.
And these people are going into the workplace at some point, even if they're working retail as a young person or launching their own career.
This is my point. So if young people, for example, do not seek out this kind of training, this etiquette training, this personal development training on their own, they're not getting it anywhere in the education system. Nowhere. They're getting all the way through university and have these great educations if they can manage to get through. And then there is this gaping gap, way bigger than it ever was before because of COVID, where they don't have these baseline social skills, the emotional intelligence. You think about the young kids who were shaped by COVID. They're not picking up on body language. They're not picking up on the sort of the intimate little gestures that are giveaways as to how somebody is feeling or how they're reacting to something that you're saying. They've lost that. They don't have it. They never had it. So the young people, the Gen Zs that we see who are the ones who are in university now, it is of crisis proportion, I believe, because they don't know how to interact with people. So there was a Harvard-Stanford study done that concluded that 85% of your ability to succeed will come from your soft skills and 15% from your hard skills, your training and education.
So I believe that.
Absolutely.
I'm sure there's research, but I think we know it ourselves. The people who are very engaging and have a great attitude, don't you want to be around them? Aren't they attractive?
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That is right.
Yeah.
And it's something that you feel and you know you want to be around it. And it's not really even quantifiable. It's just that you know they've got that it factor. And that, you know, a lot of things that I accomplished, especially when I was in the corporate world, I started out in sales. I didn't have any education or training, Dana. And I remember, I was a fitness instructor at the time, and a co-fitness instructor. He was in management at a company, and he said, "Lorraine, why don't you apply?" And I said, "John, I don't know how to work a computer. I don't know how to do anything." He said, "Can you type?" And I said, "Well, you know something? I was really good at typing in high school." He said, just get your words per minute up to this. He gave me a Windows 95 book.
That's going back.
And I went in and did the test, but you know what got me the job is I showed up looking like I deserved that job. And I was able to communicate and have, you know, just have good conversation, great eye contact, all the stuff that I had learned in finishing school. And I got the job. And I got every job after that I ever went out for, because the entire package was bigger than my lack of education.
It's so true. But that's a perfect example of You show up for the part, because you actually say on your website, you say, I believe that impeccable soft skills will give you and your organization an edge in a competitive world. Etiquette, common manners, and professionalism indicate to the people you engage with that you take pride in yourself, your career, and the organizations you represent. And at the Development Academy, we take pride in offering modern day etiquette and professionalism that set you apart from the rest. And who wouldn't want that? Whether you're looking for a job or you're an employer wanting your people to stand out and know how to interact with people who are already at the organization. So what are the kinds of courses that you offer then to the business world or for people seeking this out? So it's on etiquette.
Sure. So, you know, and thanks for reading back my stuff. It sounded pretty good, actually.
It sounded great.
I haven't read it for a while. Here's the funny thing. I want to just pick up on a couple of things I thought of while you were reading that. The thing is, so in 2018, I actually applied for and was accepted into this little program from Enterprise St. John called the Venture Validation Program. Mm-hmm. It was to, you know, take your idea, have it vetted through, you know, a business plan. And if they paired you with mentors like from UNB and put you through the rigors of, does your business plan make sense? Practically and economically. And so in 2018, I did that. I took this idea of delivering soft skills training to companies for their employees to close that gap. And at that time, there was a CEO that I asked about this high level question. What do you think about a service that augments companies onboarding training with this needed soft skills that there seems to be a gap in, because my research, Dana, was on the millennials. I was so intrigued back in 2017, 2018 with the millennials and how they have just had put the workforce right on its top and left everybody reeling as to how to deal with them. And so that was where I was coming at this from. I had a CEO at the time tell me, well, that's ridiculous, Lorraine. They come to the workplace knowing all this stuff. It's common sense. And I said,
I don't think it's so common.
But it's not. So anyway, and this is funny. I actually have a phone call set up to go back to him and ask him now, 5 years later and one pandemic, how do you feel if I pose that same question now? Because I know with certainty the answer is not going to be that. And so this is the thing. Workplaces know there is a big problem. The cost of poor customer service is $1.6 trillion. Many, many reports, many journals, many marketing companies are agreeing with that number. $1.6 trillion, Dana, is costing for poor customer service. And when it comes to the young professionals, though, the millennials and the Gen Zs, now, I'm just for the purpose of this conversation, it's going to seem like I'm using a broad brush here, but just for the purpose of this conversation, the millennials, which we all know set the workplace on its top, and we're still reeling from how to deal with this cohort. And now the Gen Zs are coming in too. The thing is, if they have never been taught this type of stuff at home, etiquette, manners, respect, when to take off your hat, how to dress, why your boobs shouldn't be hanging out in an interview. If they've never been taught this at home, they're not receiving it anywhere in their education, primary school, high school, college, university. They are going out thinking, I'm graduated from big fancy university, got my degree. It doesn't matter how I look. It doesn't matter how I talk. That is the sentiment. The difference that I observe is the ones who are on and the ones who get it and the ones who were taught, they are a force to be reckoned with. And their trajectory to success is going to be fast. But then there's the ones who absolutely don't get it. They really don't. They don't understand why they didn't get the job. They don't understand why they're being passed over for promotions. They don't understand the impact of how they present. And here's the kicker. Nobody's telling them.
Right.
Nobody's telling them why. So in all of my research in 2018 and to present day, because I'm so intrigued by it, I'm always asking people questions. I interviewed a lot of C-level people and HR managers and hiring managers, and the stories just keep coming, and they're not one-offs. But you know, a couple of
things. So what is the sense that you're getting from talking to HR managers and C-suite people? The general consensus is what?
The general consensus is it is very difficult to deal with. For example, you know, entitlement is one word that comes to my mind. Dealing with millennials and Gen Zs who also have to deal with older generations is the number one thing that human resources departments or, you know, third party human resources departments are asked to deal with. Up to 7 weeks a year are spent on conflict resolution because millennials and Gen Zs can't get along with the boomers, the Gen Xers, and the traditionalists. It's a big problem.
Is this a back and forth thing though? Like, is it younger people don't know how to relate to the older people, or vice versa? I would think it would be easily the other way around. Not really sure. Or maybe they have just two different perspectives, or
it is, it's actually in both directions. It's not just the Gen Zs and the millennials, you know, going upstream and being difficult. It's definitely a two-way street. I'm going to give you a couple of real-time examples. And the part that is concerning to me is how we as a society are starting to excuse it away. And this is the part that is concerning me, because I'm like, how much further can we go down this road before we are just grunting and pointing? So here's a couple of real-time examples that have just happened lately. So I had to go to the federal government building in Fredericton to pick up a document. And so I go up the elevator to the second floor suite. And of course, you know, you're met with the pillars that block you off, and there's the sanitizing machines, and the sign says sanitize, and then it says wait. And so I did both. I sanitized and I waited. And it wasn't long until a young man, I'm going to say in his 20s, so he's a Gen Zer for sure, comes out. And so I'm in his territory now, right? I have been told to wait and to stop and to sanitize, and I did all of that. And so I'm waiting for him to direct me. He comes out, he stands about 3 feet away from me, and he just stared at me. And so I stared back, because I'm like, I'm in his territory, I'm at his mercy, I've done everything they've asked me to do, and now I'm waiting. But he just stared at me and said nothing. No, nothing. Not how are you today? How can I help you? Where can I direct you? What are you looking for? Nothing. So, but you would think that is a one-off, but it's not. It's not. It's happening more and more where they just stand there and point. Or
No connection.
None whatsoever. Yeah. None whatsoever. The inability to lift your eyes and look at somebody. But I'm sorry, as a federal government employee, that is just not acceptable to me. That's just not acceptable. Mm. That is very poor behavior. It lacks any sense of professionalism. And then flip over to many, many hiring managers and human resources people I have talked to, up as high as CPHR NB, saying, you know, that people aren't coming to the jobs looking like they should be in that role.
You mean from a physical appearance, yeah, like how they dress and yeah, show up? Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, we've just come out of the sweatpants era where people are accustomed to working at home, right? Like, and there are a lot of places that have hybrid environments now. So I wonder if that's impacting it.
No doubt. But the level of sloppiness that it has gotten to, people don't stop and think about how that chips away at credibility. You know, I remember having to go to the emergency room a couple of years ago, and you know, you have to give your information to the girl behind the, you know, now all the plexiglass, because this was during COVID. And I remember it crossing my mind that the way she was dressed was such an affront to professionalism and the setting that she was in, being the hospital, I was like, I'm not even sure I want to give her my personal information. Mm. You know, it just struck me that the level of unprofessionalism indicated in her sloppy hair, her poor dress, it's just not a match for the environment you're in. And so I just keep coming back to, I ask myself, how much farther are we going to, as a society, allow this to go and still call it okay? You know, like I have a friend who works in a bank, and my friend is just an impeccable dresser, great style, and takes pride in everything from top to bottom. And she said that the loans manager actually came in with a velour two-piece jogging suit on. If I walked into the bank to get a loan and that's what I was, I would turn around and walk out, because I'm like, if you didn't care enough to get up and be presentable, I'm not so sure my paperwork's going to be correct. I'm not so sure you're going to do your due diligence in getting me the best interest rate. I'm just not sure you're into it.
It's all a trust factor, right? Because I have a philosophy that you're always communicating who you are every single minute of every single day. And you have a complimentary course on your site. It's all about first impressions.
Yes.
Because this is what happens, is that people, if you build credibility in other ways, and sometimes it's with how you dress and, you know, dressing the part, it actually lends itself to people trusting you, or thinking that you'd even know, I mean, you might even know your job, but you're more inclined to get sales, get people in, get more people just connecting with you in that way. So you can see how you can easily make, and it's a judgment on or an assumption whether you're going to be able to take care of me or not.
Yes.
As a customer.
I hear from, younger people a lot, not so much older people, because they were raised in a time when they recognized that first impressions, you know, were very important. But again, let's start with the millennials on down. I hear it time and time again. People shouldn't judge me by the way I look or what I'm wearing. You know, I'm very defensive about it as well. But here's the reality. First impressions and judging something that's new to you is a survival mechanism. You have no choice about it. Your autonomic nervous system takes over, and it's that whole fight or flight response that when you are presented with something new that you've never encountered before, aka a new person, your mind mm-hmm. makes all kinds of assumptions out of having to determine, am I safe? Do I stay? Do I
yeah.
go? Right. There are thousands of things going on in your brain all at once. And it takes something people say 7 seconds. Some research says fractions of a second for you to determine, do I like you? Do I trust you? Are you knowledgeable? Are you educated? All of these things, you have no choice about it. Mm. You're going to do it. Mm. So people who think that none of that stuff matters, they have really, really, really done themselves a disservice, especially since they pour so much money into their education. This is the real clincher to me at this point in time. You have so many people more educated than they ever have been in any other point in time, and they're dismissing this whole huge part of what's really going to get them ahead in life, which is how they make other people feel. That's what this comes down to. That's the part that people don't understand, is that everything you do is about how you make someone else feel when they're around you. And that could, go ahead.
And that could mean like how they feel. Do they feel like promoting you? Do they feel like you're the person who's going to be able to take on that job?
Yes.
You know, like it's all of that.
Yes. I actually spoke to a senior VP of a very successful tech company. And, you know, we were talking about the sensitive topic of body odor, because I said, you know, have you ever been in that situation of having to deal with somebody in, you know, with body odor? And she said, yeah, no, almost anybody in management would rather do anything with that person, shuffle them off to a different department, do anything.
Then address it.
Yes. So again,
because it's so uncomfortable
for both. It's so uncomfortable for both.
Yeah. How do you tell somebody they stink? I mean, that's not easy.
So here's the thing. That's why I don't like to call all of this, you know, soft skills common sense anymore. And here's why. A, it's not common sense anymore, because common sense infers that it was something that you did so often and from such a young age that it became automatic and you don't have to think about it. That's what common sense is. But we don't have that anymore, because we have at least two generations who probably it was not emphasized in their life. And if they haven't sought out the training on their own, they don't have it. Now, layer in our very multicultural society and how many young people or people from of all ages from different company, different countries, different cultures who are coming here to be educated, they don't know. How would they know the customs in terms of, you know, that it's traditional, it's expected rather, that we manage body odor with antiperspirant or whatever. They wouldn't know that. Put them in these situations where we're not training them and nobody will have the conversation.
Yeah.
So you're holding people being held back and they don't even know why.
Right. Because people are afraid to even just have the conversation with them and they don't, and then they may wonder like, why is this not happening for me?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So if people want to get, if someone's listening to this and they think, I could use this, my child could use this, my young adult or a company says we could use this for another capacity. What is the best way to reach you?
So youaredeveloping.com. I mean, for people who are already familiar with L Models and maybe follow my website, you will now see that you can get directed to youaredeveloping.com right from the L Models website. But you can also go in, you know, separately to youaredeveloping.com. And I have a pretty active Instagram, whereby I'm always giving out little etiquette snippets or success snippets or style and confidence. So my Instagram is pretty active. And you had asked me earlier about some of the types of courses. So I did want to get courseware online for companies who wanted, you know, bite-sized, just-in-time modules pertinent to their employees' needs. So for example, you know, whatever their onboarding training may not cover, I could customize something that they could do self-paced online. But I'm also doing in-person workshops. Just as an example, I have a lunch and learn next week with a company in St. John, where they wanted me to come in and do a lunch and learn 1 hour on effective communication and generational harmony. Back to, that is a really big thing these days. So I do in person, I have the self-paced online, but I would also love to do, you know, a hybrid where I'm able to do live in person or live online with them as an add-on to their employees doing the self-paced portion. And like I say, some of the modules are as short as, you know, 5 minutes. Some of the entire courses are much longer than that, but they can do it in bite-sized, customized, as needed basis.
So if someone wanted, as an individual, want to sign up, can they sign up for a course? Like, is it a, will it be live, or will this is something they could download and go, okay, this is maybe something I need in my success package when I'm out there job searching?
Absolutely. So currently I have two up on my website operational. One of them is an extensive course called Etiquette for Teens and Young Professionals. So totally geared towards just that, you know, any teenager or person, you know, fairly new out of university or, you know, got that first big job, maybe in sales or marketing or that kind of thing. And then the other one is First Impressions. So that's like the baseline. That's like the foundational course is the First Impressions course. So next, I plan to get up a very extensive business etiquette, including some international protocol. You know, if we have people doing business around the world, it is, you know, very important in business to first establish relationships and a good rapport. And it doesn't take much to break that down, Dana, if you don't know how to act in different situations and different cultures. So business etiquette is on my agenda to get done, as well as dining etiquette. I really do want to put one out there that is specifically chunked out to teach people how to maneuver a fine dining table. So I have now that I have my online presence up and started, this is just the beginning. I will I have so many ideas about the kinds of topics and courseware to bring people. And I'm just excited to hopefully get people excited about putting their best self forward and knowing that it really does make a difference. And just, I envision, you know, just New Brunswick becoming, you know, like the epicenter for just, you know, etiquette and professionalism and how that could really set us apart. Personally, I think this training should be for sure part of every single business degree and MBA. I appeal to anybody from academics listening to this that I can't think of a better, you know, a better thing to add to the business environment than just this notion of setting yourself apart from the pack.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I love a woman with a vision, and you are on you have a vision and you're on a mission for sure. Is there anything that you want to say about professionalism, etiquette, manners, or what you're doing that I haven't asked you about?
Oh, I don't think so. You did a great job. That was a great conversation. Just that, I guess, you know, if people could view it as, you know, not being a bunch of sticky rules, but it's rather about being kind and respectful and considerate of other people, and that comes out in all of the ways that you communicate, your words. You know, I'll end with this. There was a scientist, his name was Arnold Mehrabian, and he came up with the Mehrabian formula for communication. He boiled it down to three buckets of how we perceive information. And so it is the 7-30-8-55 rule. So whenever somebody speaks, so let's say you're speaking and I'm listening. So 7% of the words that you say impact me. 38% of the way you say them impacts me. And 55% is your body language, your facial expressions, your gestures, the way you hold yourself. So, you know, I could say to you, I really like your outfit, Dana. So if you could see me, you would pay less attention to the actual words that I said, and you would take your cues from my facial expressions, because if I scanned you up and down with my eyes and scrunched up my nose, you wouldn't care that I said I liked your outfit. You would be like, no, she doesn't. Because you're not paying attention to the literal words that I say. So communication needs to be very clear, and body language and speaking effectively, being a good speaker, those are all things that are worth investing in yourself. If you're going to be educated, you know, which is a great thing, but back that up with good, solid etiquette, manners, professionalism, and be polished.
Well, thank you for bringing this to our attention. You're giving us something to think about. I appreciate the conversation and your insight today, Lorraine.
Thank you so much, Dana. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. That was such a great conversation. If you loved it too, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Please go to iTunes to rate and review this podcast. And if you want to continue the conversation, connect with Soul Sister Conversations on the Facebook and Instagram pages. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at Dana Lloyd Leadership, on Twitter at Coach Dana_Lloyd, and of course on LinkedIn. See you next week.